I call to order this meeting of the Municipality of Skagway Assembly for December 21st, 2023. With respect of their historical and present stewardship of this great land, we acknowledge that we are conducting business on the traditional lands of the Chilkoot Tlingit people. If you would like, please stand and join me in reciting the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
And from our state constitution, all persons have a natural right to life, liberty, the pursuit of happiness, and the enjoyment of the rewards of their own industry, that all persons are equal and entitled to equal rights, opportunities, and protections under the law, and that all persons have corresponding obligations to the people and to the state. Clerk Burnham, roll call, please.
Waddell.
Present.
Potter.
Here.
Henry.
Here.
Colodi.
Here.
Hansen.
Present.
Mayor Bass.
Here.
Burnham.
Here.
All members present. Quorum is established.
All right. Approval of minutes.
Move for the approval of the November 16th minutes and the November 20th minutes.
Second.
Motion by Hansen, second by Potter. Discussion? Okay. Roll call.
Colodi.
Yes.
Waddell.
Yes.
Potter.
Yes.
Hansen.
Yes.
Burnham.
Yes.
Henry.
Yes.
Six yeses, motion passes.
Item four, approval of agenda.
I move for the approval of the agenda.
Second.
Motion by Potter, second by Burnham. Discussion? Assembly member Colodi?
Sorry.
Nope. Okay. Roll call, please.
Hansen.
Yes.
Henry.
Yes.
Potter.
Yes.
Burnham.
Yes.
Waddell.
Yes.
Colodi.
Yes.
Six yeses, motion passes.
On to item five, reports of officials and committees. We'll start off with the mayor's report. Just a few items from me. Earlier this month, we experienced intermittent 911 outages. Calls could come into the server, but the system would not recognize the call and the line would just continue to ring. We believe a patch for the issue has been found, and we haven't had additional outages for these last few weeks. However, this patch is only temporary, and so we are moving quickly to determine the extent of a permanent fix and upgrade. Once the fix and cost are determined, the Assembly most likely will see a budget amendment requesting new funds. If there is a future outage and people can't get through to traditional 911, they should call 907-612-1071. That's 612-1071. But please, if you need emergency services, start by calling 911 and then use the cell phone as the secondary number. Also, we received an update from Ryan Mandeville, president of the Community Cares Committee. That's the organization that manages our local food bank. Last year, they provided over $35,000 worth of food to the public and filled over 140 requests for assistance. For 2024, the food bank appears to be starting in a healthy financial position, thanks to generous public and private donations, including a recent gift of $1,500 from AP&T, and as such, is hoping to add financial training services to their range of other services. That's good news, and I'd like to thank President Mandeville, Holly Strathy, John Tronrud, and Rocky Alcott, also Grizzlies and AC Fairway Market for making this critical public service available. So thank you for that. That's all I have. We'll move on to committee assembly committee reports, starting out with finance.
Thank you, Your Honor. There's a check run dated December 21st, 2023, in the amount of $3,953,074.38. I move we approve the check run.
Second.
Motion. I'm sorry. Who made the motion by Burnham, second by Hansen. Discussion.
The Of note, there was an electronic fund transfer of a little over $3 million to Pacific Pile and Marine. So that's where the big chunk of the pie went for this check run. And I did have another question, but we can cover it later on under discussion, I suppose. Finance met yesterday, Wednesday, December 20th at 5 p.m. Under new business was review of resolution 23-37, certifying that the municipality did suffer significant effects during the program base year from fisheries business activities that occurred within the northern southeast areas fishery management area. After discussion, finance recommends assembly approval. Finance reviewed resolution 2338, amending the personnel policy regarding Chapter 9 training and travel. After discussion, finance recommends assembly approval. Finance reviewed ordinance 2327, amending Skagway Municipal Code 4.08, sales taxation, in adopting the Alaska Remote Sellers Sales Tax Code. After discussion, finance recommends assembly approval. Finance reviewed the Orr Peninsula Redevelopment Project Change Order Number 2. After discussion, finance recommends assembly approval. Finance reviewed field order for pile driving leads. After discussion, finance recommends assembly approval. Finance reviewed port truck in-ground TIG machine requests for bids. After discussion, finance recommends assembly accept the $25,000 bid. Under finance discussion items was banking in Skagway. After discussion, finance asked to add an item to the January 4 assembly agenda to request staff to reach out to Alaska-based credit unions and banks for information on what it would take for them to have a branch in Skagway. And if this is something that would interest you to have another banking opportunity in Skagway, you might want to come to the assembly meeting on January 4 or write a letter and say that you would support something like that. This isn't saying that we're going to start a new bank or credit union in Skagway. It's just asking to see what it would take from a credit union or bank to come to Skagway, like what would entice them. But it would be good to have some support for that. And that is all.
Thank you, Assemblymember Burnham. I think any more discussion on the motion to approve the check run? All right, nothing heard. Roll call, please.
Hanson.
Yes.
Henry.
Yes.
Burnham.
Yes.
Waddell.
Yes.
Colodi.
Yes.
Potter.
Yes.
Six yeses, motion passes.
Okay. Jay, any additional items?
Certainly, I'd like to just keep talking, rambling on. I will point out that's the second time I've done that in all the years I've been up here. So that's almost nine. So I'm doing good.
All right. Thank you. We'll move on then to how about public safety?
Public safety. I will arrange a meeting in January. I've got a growing list of things to talk about. So I will look for a meeting coming in January.
Okay, thank you. Parks and Rec, please.
Thank you, Your Honor. I'm meeting with Manager Ryan and Tyson tomorrow to discuss some trail projects, hoping to set up a meeting in January. Also having conversations to revisit the conversation of the Denver Caboose Cabin Trail, Denver Glacial Trail. So more news in January.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Health, education, and welfare.
Nothing at this time, Your Honor.
Thank you. Civic affairs, please.
Nothing at this time, Your Honor. Thank you.
Thank you. And finally, public works.
Nothing on public works, Your Honor. Would you like me to address planning and zoning?
Please. Yes, you have items, please.
Thank you. Planning and zoning met last Thursday. There were three items on the agenda. The first item was a proposed business operating in the Presbyterian Church serving breakfast. Open to the public, but also I think the seniors have really requested that. That passed. There were three commissioners in attendance. That passed 3-0 with a few amendments. The second item was an application for a marijuana dispensary. That passed without amendments, some discussion. And the third item was a request for a conditional use for accessory housing, and that was not approved. And I think we're probably going to hear something about that during citizens present.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Let's see. Let's move on. Treasurer's report.
Not this meeting.
All right. Thank you. 5D, manager's report, please.
You have a manager's report that is primarily all of my department heads. Pretty obsessed with the port project for me right now. There are other things going on. I will say that they did their last pile driving this morning, and they will be off for 2 weeks. So there won't be any action down there to speak of for the next 2 weeks for the port project. Otherwise, you have in writing what's happening in my other departments.
Okay. Thank you, Manager Ryan. Communications to the Assembly. Item A, correspondence.
Your Honor, there's no correspondence.
Okay. Thank you. We'll move on to hear citizens present. When you are called, please come forward and state your name and any organization you may be representing. Each speaker will have 5 minutes to present to the Assembly. At 4 minutes, the deputy clerk will issue one gavel strike. At 4 minutes, 30 seconds, two strikes. At this point, please begin to wrap up your comments. And then at 5 minutes, you get three gavel strikes and you'll be asked to relinquish the floor. Let's see. First up, John Hillis, please.
John Hillis, property owner and small business owner in Skagway. I just want to talk about housing. Ryan mentioned it a little bit already. It's no secret it's difficult to find housing, hold on to housing as a renter in town. For year-round residents, it's gotten more difficult as more houses have been lost to seasonal needs this year. As a small business owner looking to hire my first employee, I'd love to be able to just hand them some contacts, tell them put me down as a referral, and I'll get you what you need. But instead, I'm left with a very small pool of housing to search through or to make my own. To that effect, I have a garage still that I don't use. It was built as a man cave, basically. It's insulated, framed, 2x6 frame, drywall on the walls. Plumbed everything, seemed like a pretty solid option. And so I proposed it and it was shot down by planning and zoning. And we'll, of course, appeal that when the time comes. But I wanted to speak tonight just to talk about other options. Garden City RV Park has been discussed at length and continues to be discussed as a solution. But it feels like there's other things that we can be doing as well. I don't know all the details of it, but it seems like there could be code for existing buildings that makes it easier for a building like mine to be converted into a garage. It's too close to the plot lines is what the problem is with it. And I just think of other properties in town, other empty lots in town that the city owns that could be maybe used for high density. I don't know. I look at this continued issue and it seems like since I've moved here, Garden City RV Park has been discussed a lot and nothing has been done with it and nothing else has been discussed regarding this. And I just like to see Skagway actively working towards a safe aesthetic answer, encouraging accessory housing, especially in existing builds, and especially something to help encourage our year-round rentals to rent to people that are going to be here year-round. It was a very odd way of saying that. But anyway, thank you all.
Thank you, Mr. Hillis. Would anybody else like to speak tonight? Okay, we will move on to our agenda. 7, ordinances, resolutions, and proclamations. 7A, public hearing and adoption of resolution number 2337R, certifying that the municipality did suffer significant effects during the program-based year from fisheries business activities that occurred within the FMA 17 Northern Southeast Area Fisheries Management Area.
I move for public hearing and adoption of resolution 2337R.
Second.
Motion by Potter, second by Hansen. Would anyone from the public like to discuss this issue? Okay. Discussion? Assembly Member Hansen.
Thank you, Your Honor. This is a bit of housekeeping that comes around every year. In finance, we did discuss it last night, and not to limit the funds we're getting, but the population listed for Skagway, however they got this, is 8,350, which in the fisheries tax program equates to $467.57. We're probably more in line with what Hoonah gets in terms of population. So I think our treasurer is going to look into that. By opening up our mouth, we probably cost ourselves $200, but it's kind of minor. Anyways, you know, I think finance chair agreed we should be accurate in our reporting, even if it means we're eliminating a couple hundred bucks from the state's fisheries program. Thank you.
Any further discussion? Roll call.
Colodi.
Yes.
Henry.
Yes.
Burnham.
Yes.
Hansen.
Yes.
Potter.
Yes.
Waddell.
Yes.
6 yeses, motion passes.
7B, public hearing and adoption of resolution number 23-38R, amending the personnel policy regarding Chapter 9, training and travel.
I move for public hearing and adoption of resolution number 23-38R.
Second.
Motion by Burnham, second by Potter. Would anyone from the public like to address this issue? Discussion. Assemblymember Hansen.
Thank you, Your Honor. I just want to make sure it's clear that the draft for the travel expense policy, we're adopting that also. Is that correct? No. Then it's a little confusing to me if we're not adopting that concurrently, because it's listed as a reference in this resolution. That was something I didn't really fully comprehend in how this is being presented.
Manager Ryan, do you have any input on this?
The intent of this change is to have a reference to the travel expense policy, so it won't come back and be in this. It will change as we grow with the times, inflation. So we don't have to come in and change that dollar mark all the time in here. Instead, we can just change the travel expense policy. So it may change 3 years from now, but you won't have to look at it again. It'll always be what's in the personnel policy, travel expense policy, reference to the travel expense policy. The idea is to get it out of coming back every time we want to change the per diem rates.
But this is a new travel policy that hasn't existed before.
It's taking the dollar mark out of it, you know, that you look at all the time, and putting it in this travel expense policy that'll be an internal policy to us.
But that's a new policy. The travel policy is a new one.
Yes. It's, yeah.
Assemblymember Hansen.
Just so I understand, then, what we're reviewing here is a draft for reference only.
Yes.
So how do we actually know what it means if we're not approving it?
You won't, I mean, this is what it is right now, but you won't in the future know if we change the travel expense policy.
Is that effectively more or less just a dollar amount to deal with inflation, et cetera?
It's been a dollar mark. That's what it's effectively been. But if we wanted to say eventually, oh, you have to get the form signed off before you travel. Right now it says if you don't get it signed off, you have to pay it up front and get reimbursed in hindsight. You could have a manager that was like, nope, That's not going to happen. You have to get it signed up before you travel for staff. This is for personnel. This is an example of what might change. It hasn't, but it could.
Your Honor, this is Waddell. May I speak?
Assembly Person Waddell, go ahead.
Thank you. This topic itself is going to be coming to Civic Affairs. The personnel policy does not affect the assembly. This was discussed briefly at Finance last night. But if the table wished to postpone this decision until after Civic Affairs has taken it up and seen what the committee came up with, I would be open to that idea as well.
Thank you, Assemblymember Waddell. Further discussion, Vice Mayor Potter.
Thank you, Your Honor. So once again, the personnel policy does not affect assembly members. That is correct, right?
Right. We're not telling you what the assembly decides what they do with their travel. This is the personnel policy. And when we change the personnel policy, it comes to you, right? So if we want to make a change, we have to bring it back to you. This is a change to the personnel policy that says travel for staff will be based on the travel expense policy. That doesn't mean that's how you're going to do it as an assembly. We don't tell the assembly what to do, right? That is how staff will be handled for travel. And then if the dollar mark goes up 2 years from now, we won't bring it back to you, the personnel policy, because the travel expense policy is an internal policy to staff.
May I ask another?
Vice Mayor Potter, go ahead.
Another question for you, Manager Ryan. So basically the travel policy that's included in our packet is, as Assemblymember Hansen said, is not really an example, but it's something that serves as kind of like an example, right? Is that what
it's exactly what it is. It's the draft of what we're going to use if you say we can make this change to the personnel policy.
And how often would you anticipate needing to make a change to the dollar amount? Or
I don't think the dollar amount is going to change very often. If there's some complication with this, you know, that we want to change authorizations or something, we might do that. But I don't see this changing a lot. It hasn't changed since I've been here. This is just solidifying how it works.
I'm fine supporting this. I don't know if we need to send it to a committee. I think there's already a lot of other committee items on all of our plates. So I have no problem with this.
Manager Ryan, do you anticipate any major changes to that draft for the travel policy that you've shown us?
No, I don't anticipate any right now.
And is it, when I read through it, it seems like the major portion that you're taking out of the personnel policy is the per diem descriptions.
Yes.
and actual dollar amounts. That whole portion comes out of the personnel policy and now lives in this new travel policy that we hope to see soon.
Well, it's here, unless there's some change I haven't anticipated, but that's what we'll use to give staff guidance. Yeah.
And the new travel policy, that won't be something that we see. That's an internal staff mechanism.
Yes. Right? Correct.
Okay. Assemblymember Hansen.
Thank you, Your Honor. I don't really see that this resolution does a whole lot other than it removes what the per diem is stated at. Other than that, it's descriptive, but it doesn't say a whole lot. And then really the meat of it now becomes an internal policy for staff to manage employees as they go for travel and training. So I don't really see why we would send it if we agree that it should be handled by staff, why we would send it to a different committee. It just, it was confusing to me because if we're kind of referring to a draft that we're not approving, I'm not exactly sure what we're doing. But it I think in general, if we understand that this basically falls into staff's purview and we aren't dealing with how staff deals with it, then I am okay with that because that's effectively what we're doing. We're just not passing laws about what it means. So I think it's fine.
Member Burnham.
Thank you, Your Honor. I guess I didn't really understand that at the finance meeting yesterday that it was, I mean, I understood that it was removing the per diem and moving it over to the draft reference policy here. But I guess I didn't understand that it was going to then, I guess my question is who would be deciding then what the per diem is? Would it be like the manager or?
Yeah, well, we put maximums in this already. The per diem is $80, right? And then there's the hotel maximum. And really, that all comes through the department heads and myself already. So if you want to go to C-Trade, we ask all staff to put in their intent to go to C-Trade, right? And then we look at that through the budget cycle, and you still have to get it signed off on. So we're already doing the majority of this internally. It's just now in a policy. And what's really changed is that dollar mark has come out, that $80 instead of 50 or 53 or whatever it is.
Okay.
Manager Ryan, we base our per diem off federal per diems, right? We're not just, where do we come up with those numbers?
In the past, we've just had a set number, right?
That we internally decide.
Well, it was in the policy of what is, it said right here. $58 a day, right? That's what it was. Now it's up to 80. It's $80 a day. We just tried to pick a number that was representative of where we travel. It's going to, if you go to Miami, it's going to hurt. If you go to, Portland, it's probably fine. Right. So hopefully it's a wash in the end. We could go down the route of the federal rates for every place you go, right? That just gets kind of messy. So we just try to pick a flat number.
Okay. Thank you. Any more discussion? Roll call.
Henry.
Yes.
Waddell.
Yes.
Potter.
Yes.
Hansen.
Yes.
Burnham.
Yes.
Colodi.
Yes.
Six yeses, motion passes.
Item 7C, introduction and first reading of ordinance number 23-27, amending SMC 4.08 sales taxation and adopting the Alaska Remote Seller Sales Tax Code.
I move for introduction and first reading of ordinance number 23-27.
Second.
Motion by Burnham, second by Potter. Discussion. Vice Mayor Potter.
I think this is an exciting opportunity for us. I did a little bit of research today, and their website only had fiscal year 2020 numbers on there. They were estimated to bring in $14 million in revenues from, I think they're at over 3,600 remote sellers that have signed up. And last year, that would have been split between 43 different communities. So once again, it's kind of it's a no-lose opportunity to try to collect. You can go to the website and see all the listed sellers. You've got Amazon, Wayfair, Old Navy, and so on. So I think just once again, this is a great way to collect some sales tax money from these different online retailers in a way that our staff would never have time to do. So I think this is great.
Thank you. Any further discussion? Roll call, please.
Hansen.
Yes.
Waddell.
Yes.
Burnham.
Yes.
Potter.
Yes.
Colodi.
Yes.
Henry.
Yes.
Six yeses, motion passes.
All right, on to 7D, public hearing, second reading, and adoption of ordinance 23-26, amending the FY23 sales tax and port fund budgets to adjust for loan and bond proceeds.
I move for public hearing, second reading, and adoption of ordinance 2326.
Second.
Motion by Potter, second by Burnham. Would anyone from the public like to address this issue? Discussion. Assemblymember Hansen.
Thank you, Your Honor. I move we amend 2326 to include the amendment 7D1 in our packet that came from the Finance Department.
Second.
Motion by Hansen, second by Potter to amend 2326 to include the offered amendment in our packet. Where was the reference? Discussion on the amendment. Roll call.
Waddell.
Yes.
Potter.
Yes.
Burnham.
Yes.
Colodi.
Yes.
Henry.
Yes.
Hansen.
Yes.
Six yeses, motion passes.
Okay, back to the now amended ordinance 23-26. Discussion. Okay, roll call.
Hansen.
Yes.
Colodi.
Yes.
Potter.
Yes.
Henry.
Yes.
Burnham.
Yes.
Waddell.
Yes.
Six yeses, motion passes.
All right, moving on to item 8, unfinished business. Nothing reported there. On to 9, new business. Item A, appointment of bidding review board. Member Hansen.
Thank you, Your Honor. I move we extend the appointment of Gary Hager, Charles Dolan, and Jamie Lawson to the bid review board to extend to the end of October 2024.
Second.
Second.
Motion by Hansen, second by Potter. Discussion. Assemblymember Hansen.
Thank you, Your Honor. The clerk asked me if I thought it was a good idea to have the bid review period coincide with when we typically renew all the boards, which is after the October elections. The bid review board was appointed last year in the middle of the summer. And so to make it, I think, work a little better with how all the other appointments go, I reached out to Mr. Hager, Mr. Dolan, and Mrs. Lawson to see if they would be willing to serve a few more months. And they all agreed they were willing to do that. So this is, they currently have served. Let's hope they don't have to meet. That typically means there's a confrontation related to a bid, and it hasn't happened very often in my experience, but it did happen. And by state statute, it's good that we have this board in place, and this will make it so that as we go through all the different people in the community who are interested in serving, this will coincide with that same timeline. So thanks to those folks who are Mr. Dolan, Mr. Hager, and Ms. Lawson, who are willing to serve a little bit longer.
Any further discussion on the bidding review board appointments? Clerk Burnham.
Your Honor, if I could just add that the bidding review board is an assembly-appointed board, which is why Mr. Hansen is making the motion, and it's not a nomination from the mayor.
That's correct. Clerk Burnham, but we're good where we're at with our motion. We're set. Okay. All right. Any further discussion? Roll call.
Potter.
Yes.
Hansen.
Yes.
Burnham.
Yes.
Waddell.
Yes.
Henry.
Yes.
Colodi.
Yes.
Six yeses, motion passes.
9B, approval of Ore Peninsula Redevelopment Project Change Order Number 2.
I move for Ore Peninsula Redevelopment Project Change Order Number 2 in the amount of $26,476.08.
Second.
Motion by Potter, second by Hansen. Discussion. Assemblymember Hansen.
Thank you, Your Honor. We discussed this at Finance last night. This has been reviewed by the manager, KPFF, our engineers, I think some other parties involved. And these are fairly minor things, but very clearly infrastructure. There's additional rebar needed, panels, additional stress panels for one of the docks, or closer plates, I'm sorry. A change of the capstan, which I believe was requested by the cruise lines. So this is a pretty minor one in the grand scheme of this project, but it is over $25,000, so it has to come to us. I think that's the way it goes, or maybe the manager just wants to make sure he's crossing his T's and dotting his I's very thoroughly down to every stick of rebar.
Any further discussion? Roll call.
Burnham.
Yes.
Hansen.
Yes.
Waddell.
Yes.
Henry.
Yes.
Potter.
Yes.
Colodi.
Yes.
Six yeses, motion passes.
9C, consideration of field order for pile driving leads.
I move for consideration of I move for consideration of field order for pile driving leads. If you're going for the in the amount of $244,568.42.
Second.
Motion by Burnham, second by Hansen.
Discussion.
Assemblymember Burnham.
We discussed this in finance, and I got the impression that it was something the manager was more looking for a go ahead to be able to approve if we approve it, kind of thing. Is that the right impression? Can the manager answer?
Manager Ryan?
Yeah, so I'm looking for authorization to spend the $244,000 and change if we come to an agreement here in the next few days, or I could even wait till January 4th, that we agree we need the longer leads. And the reason you got this late as far as the dollar mark is, we were still debating it up until yesterday. We were waiting to see if the Dolphin 3, the big 42-inch piles, were going to slide in all the way to tip, is what we call it. And they did. So we have a little bit of time. If you don't want to approve it, I would rather you did. But, you know, if you wanted to consider it longer, you could. But we're waiting to try to figure out if these leads would be appropriate, because inside Dolphin 6, we've had trouble getting them down, or PPM has had trouble getting them down. And the leads, if I haven't talked to you directly, are just essentially, to put it in very simple layman's term, a longer sleeve that slides over the pile and helps line it up and keep the hammer and the pile lined up while they actually have to impact it. If the pile goes in easy with a vibe hammer like it did on Dolphin 3, they slide right in and they don't have a lot of play up in the air. So that happened at Dolphin 3. It didn't happen at Dolphin 6. And so we've been debating the needs of getting these leads, and these longer leads will help line it up, keep it in line, and not break. It's called a follower and the shell of the lead. So I would like you to, you know, provide me the authorization for this $244,000+ to move forward, and then we'll decide in the next few days if we want to get them sent out. It takes about a couple weeks to get them all the way up here or longer and modified for the hammer. I will say that today I got another text message from PPM's project manager, and the piles that were being driven for the trestle are not going in as far either, which means we're going to have to hammer on them, which is an indication that when we move back into Dolphin 7, which is inside and more in this area, we're probably going to need these leads. So there's a little bit more evidence today that I think we're going to need the leads, which makes me think we should move forward with this field order.
Manager Ryan, where will you realize the money's from? Where will that $250 come from?
Yeah, this is all port projects. So this is port revenue. We had a surplus this year. We're sitting on, when I gave you the presentation and we decided to go with these larger deep water dolphins, there was a bit of a contingency in that calculation, and some of that is in there, and some of it is a little bit more revenue than we thought we were going to get.
Is the port surplus around $2 million? Does that seem?
Yeah, correct? It's around for this year. Yes. And then next year, we have a scope of work plan, and we're projecting, match for the rock slide, but that grant is taking a while. I question if we're going to be matching it in 24 or further down the road, which is another pot of money we could utilize.
And those funds are available for projects like this $250. It's not earmarked for anything else. We don't have to push anything.
No, and that's it. That's what those funds are for, is to develop the port, and cruise ship companies should be happy. Businesses should be happy. That's what the port's supposed to be doing.
And the sleeves will work for the other pilings if we need them to as we move.
Yeah, if we got out to Dolphin 1 and 2, the deep water pilings, or they'll work for the hammers that they have. And so we have a 100 and a 400 vibratory hammer, and we have a 62 and 100 impact hammer. And that's what the leads are for, the 100 and the 62.
Okay. Assemblymember Hanson.
Thank you, Your Honor. I'll start off by saying I think driving the piles to the required depth is imperative for this dock project. So I'm going to vote yes for that reason. But at finance last night, we had the clarification between a change order and a field order, which I didn't know the difference of that. And I think I was hoping the manager could describe the difference between those two things, since we just approved a change order. Field order is not the same thing.
Manager Ryan, are you available for that question?
Yeah, I think the easy way to think about it, a change order has gone through all of the iterations, and we're sure down to the penny, and we've agreed down to the penny. So the one you just approved, KPFF's looked at it. You saw the suppliers have looked at it. BPM's looked at it. I've looked at it. And we've all agreed this is it. That's the final cost for what we're doing right there for the closure plates, the larger rebar. The field order is more of a, okay, we have $244,000 to get the leads here. We'll fight out the details in the end. And it's $244,000 not to exceed, right? So we haven't fought out all the details or who's on the hook for all the money right now. But we want it. And a lot of times it's imperative. And this one's starting to feel that way because we don't want to delay the project. And so we don't have time to fight out all the details, because this has to come from the East Coast, go to Seattle, get modified for their hammers, and then make it up here, or get modified somewhere else. Doesn't have to go to Seattle, but there's a progression here. And if we delay on this, we might all be fighting over the final details of it or who has to pay for it while the project isn't done.
Vice Mayor Potter.
Just a quick question. I'm looking at the letter from PPM, and they're requesting a field order not to exceed the amount of $250,000. So, Manager Ryan, are you comfortable with the current motion of
$244,568? I am. We wrote the letter before we had the price. We were guessing at the price, and the letter hasn't been issued. Right from KPFF, and now they finalized the price at that $244,000. It's a not to exceed, and I've got confirmation from PPM that that's what it is.
Clerk Burnham,
Your Honor, another clarifying question about the motion as stated. The motion was to consider the field order, and I'm looking for clarification if consideration means to approve.
Clerk Burnham, if we have consideration in there, you just want us to have the word approve in there? Is that more accurate for?
I think, in my opinion, that consideration only allows you to talk about it.
Well, then we need to adjust either we need to vote it down or we need to adjust the motion. So, Member Burnham.
Thank you. Would I just amend the current motion? Move to amend?
Clerk Burnham?
Your Honor, if you understand, I believe you can restate the motion before asking for roll call, and you can yourself use the word approve if that's what the assembly understands.
Okay. We'll continue with discussion, then we'll come to the final statement of the motion before the roll call. Any further discussion? Alex or Dan, do you have any? I don't want to miss you if you're on the phone.
Nope, I'm all good.
Okay.
Nothing at this time. Thank you.
Give me just one moment to make sure I got the dollar amount correct. It was $240.
Yeah.
That's correct. Yep. Okay. All right. So as we completed discussion, now we're on to approval of field order for pile driving leads not to exceed the amount of $244,568.42. Roll call.
Hanson.
Yes.
Henry.
Yes.
Colodi.
Yes.
Potter.
Yes.
Burnham.
Yes.
Waddell.
Yes.
Six yeses, motion passes.
9D, directions regarding the port truck in-ground machine request for bids. Member Hanson.
Thank you, Your Honor. I move we accept the bid of $25,000 for the port in-truck ground machine with the Ackerman TIG, T-I-G.
Second.
Motion by Hanson, second by Burnham. Discussion. Assemblymember Hanson.
Thank you, Your Honor. We put this out for bid starting at $50,000. We got no responsive bids at $50,000 or more. We got one bid. And this is laid out in the manager's memo, and he's brought this up previous meetings. In fact, the last meeting, we did get one bid for $25,000. Apparently, I think this is like a truck conveyor belt. Knew they're worth a lot of money. This one has been unused at the port for quite some time. We have no plans for it. It would probably cost us a fair amount of money to dispose of it. And there is some industrial customer who is interested in purchasing this for $25,000. And I think it would probably cost us money instead of getting $25,000 if we were to not accept a bid and turn that down. So I guess in this situation, getting $25,000 is better than probably something that's going to cost us money to dispose of it.
Any further discussion? Roll call.
Henry.
Yes.
Hanson.
Yes.
Potter.
Yes.
Waddell.
Yes.
Burnham.
Yes.
Colodi.
Yes.
Six yeses, motion passes.
Okay, moving on. Mayor and Assembly discussion items. We'll open up if anybody has any items to discuss, and then we'll make available some closing remarks for each member. Any discussion items? Assemblymember Colodi.
Thank you, Your Honor. Happy solstice. That means we have about 89 days until spring, so less than that to talk about bears. Just want to keep that on everyone's brains. Little update in the student art conversation. We had a lot of lovely artwork delivered this week. It's all on paper. There's so many of them. They're all so wonderful. I don't think that I have the heart or the eye to discern which ones we have space for and which ones we don't. Also, we don't have a great method for hanging them. I would also feel terrible if I was responsible for any sort of damage. I have an idea. Maybe we could ask the AB Hall if they would mind displaying them. They have a lot more space available. They have a better way to hang them. They hang art for, you know, at least the annual show. There's a lot more space for appropriate viewing, you know. If we had it in here, there's not a lot of space to sit back and appreciate. If we had it in the hallway, or on the stairwell, which was a great idea, still not a lot of space there. Every time someone would walk by or the wind would blow, the paper would rattle. So a lot of concerns for the caretaking of these amazing snowmen paintings. Also, because they're seasonal, they would have to be changed out periodically. I just thought that maybe the AB Hall would be the safest and more appropriate place for viewing. So thoughts, concerns from the table?
Vice Mayor Potter.
Nikki, I'm trying to think back at that. What was the intent that it would be inside assembly chambers and down the hall as well, or kind of focused on the assembly chambers?
Please go ahead.
I don't remember anything specific. I know assembly person Alex Weddle suggested the landing. Maybe we could get some sort of encasing or bulletin board style, something to hang it. I think everyone had a different idea of what to expect than what was delivered. And so now we have a lot of artwork on paper. So I think, I'm not sure if we decided on a location, but now we need to look into the method in which we're going to be hanging. Don't want to just tape it or pin it to a wall. You
know? Deb?
It sounds like maybe we find something to do with this incredible art, maybe like the AB Hall, and then maybe go back to the school and give them specific parameters of size, material, and then after checking with Public Works to find out what would work best to hang. That's the first thing that comes to my head.
I think that sounds like a great idea. Maybe something that we could actually hang, like a canvas, something a little bit more durable, substantial. Do you have a preference on where it should go? Or does anyone have a preference on where it should not go, I guess?
I always considered either it would be, you know, in the hallway, in the landing, but somewhere here at the city hall. Could we ask the school to provide us two pieces of art that they feel should be displayed in the assembly or in the hall somewhere, and we could find a couple spots and then let them make that decision on which item's appropriate?
Okay. In the meantime, hang on to what we have or send them all back?
You've already got a bunch of the submissions.
We have a lot, yep.
Well, that's good. It's a good problem to have. Jay?
A lot. How 50, 100, 150 pieces of paper?
I'd say around 50-ish, 30, 50. They vary in size as well.
I'm, of course, thinking outside the box of get a couple of boxes of tacks, put them all over the walls in here, and then when they pull out all the tacks and there's all those holes, they can fix that crack in the sheetrock right there and then plug all the holes also. J- Just going to throw that out there. Outside thinking.
Your Honor, this is Waddell, if I might chime in.
Alex, please.
Thank you. So just since I was referenced, I would just elaborate on my vision for the landing. There are these kind of like enclosed corkboard display cases that you could get and mount to the wall. I just did a very quick search. Like while we were talking, I typed in display case for wall art school. And a bunch of them showed up. And, you know, here's one 60 by 36 enclosed, 48 by 80, etc. And it has like a door that you can open and shut with a little locking mechanism on it. There's two panel, there's three panel ones. And then it's essentially a cork board where you could just thumbtack up various works of art. And so in my vision that I expressed last time, it was getting such a case and mounting it on the landing, and then perhaps enlisting the school to delegate somebody to seasonally exchange the various pieces within it and make the decisions about which pieces go in, etc. That's my thoughts on it as of current. And I suppose it would be possible to perhaps ask the manager if this is something that he thought Public Works could install, and the assembly, I believe, has a discretionary fund that we could perhaps authorize the clerk to use to purchase such a case. I know those were sentences, but they're technically questions.
I think I would support that if we maybe we give back the submissions we have now. We say, here's the space that we're going to provide. We're going to pick, you know, just even a square footage. We can tell Dr. Coffrin and the school what we're looking for. And then they could provide that to us, or, you know, actually maybe even install them themselves, not the cork boards, but the actual art end of the boards. So. Any other thoughts on school art? Okay, thanks, Kate. Anybody else? Discussion items for the table? Orion?
Thank you, Your Honor. Going back in the sands of time, I recall a sole source contract to Motorola for our 911 communications. I remember our former police chief adamantly arguing that only Motorola had the technology, the staff support, the Alaska ability to provide this service. I remember we asked these questions over and over, why did you not put this out to bid? And Motorola was the only one who could do it. Apparently they can't. And so I think we should get reimbursement for their failures. And if we're putting, we got an open ticket out there and they're not responding to it, they should give us our money back. I mean, flat out. I mean, it was presented to us. There was no plan B. Motorola was the only telecommunications company that could possibly keep up with our remote problems in Skagway. And they're not doing it. And I'm very disappointed to hear that. And they're not responding. We're having dead times on our 911. That's unacceptable. I'm sure contractually, I'm not sure, but contractually, they're supposed to provide a service and they're not doing it. I think they should be reimbursing us.
Deb?
I agree. We can't, in the chief's report, he's totally right. We just have just been lucky that it's gone down at the times it's gone down. The luck eventually runs out. Can I ask the manager, can we look into the contracts? But while looking to possibly get some kind of refund, we do need to pursue very serious upgrades, which I know is, what did we budget for this upcoming year?
There was a line item in there for communications that was about $100,000. And those monies, though, we thought may have been for applying to this upgrade, but I think those monies are more earmarked for doing a more holistic communication study because we have bigger problems. We have 911 problems. We have to resolve those. There's no doubt. But there's bigger. We still have analog towers out there that we're running our information through that we need to upgrade soon. So, Manager Ryan.
So you have about $100,000 in there. It depends on what we decide the solution is. Do we, and to Orion's comment about Motorola, I believe that last pitch that you got was for the repeaters. We're in the middle of contract disputes with them over that, making them finish that aspect of it. And then we have Entrada. Did I get that right? Entrada is what's in our server room and supposed to be switching to 911, and that's what we think is going down. We're not 100%, but we're, and ECW is another program that's in there. We've been talking to Procom Replacement, who is now dealing Motorola. We've been talking to Articom, who's dealing Zetron. And there's another one, Ascenka now or something like that, is it? I can't remember the third. There's three of them. Anyway, so we're trying to come to a good solution. But we don't want to make a mistake in the middle of all of this. And so that $100,000 could be $100,000 on a 6-year lease of equipment, or we could need a budget amendment to, well, we'll probably need a little more than $100,000 anyway, a budget amendment for the whole thing. And we haven't come to the solution. We're kind of trying to run it in the ground before we make a recommendation. Do you want it, Chief Reddick, to weigh in?
So Entrada is the, it's going to be the cell phone side of things. That's where the switches all come in. We get alerts when they go down, and that happens a lot, but that has really nothing to do with what we're dealing with. What is going down is our ECW. That's the emergency call works. That is a Motorola product. We talked with Procom this week. They confirmed that they thought it was an ECW issue. They tried to want to give us a quote for a secondary Motorola product, with this, which is Vesta. But at this point, we've had very terrible customer service with Motorola. They actually called me today. I talked to them at great lengths as to how disappointed we were and that this cannot be a problem, that we have 911 issues going down. I said, somebody's going to be holding the bag, and it's going to be me, because I know we have a problem. It's not going to be people looking at Motorola. It's going to be me, and I'm not willing to do that. We've been talking to Articom about a replacement for ECW, and that's through Zetron, and that would replace all of that equipment. They don't know what exactly the problem is. We've had an open ticket since December 3rd. I replaced a battery backup on the 13th, and they're saying on their side of things, they've not seen any failures since then. Their engineers are supposed to be working on this and looking at it, where we'll see if we have any more outages. We've had 11 over the last year, and that ranges anywhere from minutes up to 45 minutes that we're down, that we have no calls coming in and we can't make any calls out. And that's unacceptable.
Chief, once you do determine what the issue is, and once we find out, you know, which server or which switch or what the problem is, and we can allocate funds to fix that, how long to get that equipment in? Whomever, I mean, I know you're guessing. I know you don't have a crystal ball, but how long to get that stuff in? Is it a 6-month wait? Is it a 3-week wait?
The first quote that we were given that I started looking for was through Zetron. I've not reached out to anybody else. There's only a handful of people that do the 911 stuff. Zetron, Motorola, Harris Radio. There's a few others that I can't think of off the top of my head. Zetron is saying that once they can get all of the actual physical pieces, they can have it in 2 weeks. But they have to order the stuff, and that's going to be up to what is available at the time.
Well, I hope we can get the answer quickly. So that we can get this resolved. I mean, even at the next meeting, a budget amendment wouldn't be out of the question if we especially knew what the answer was. We got to have 911.
Absolutely.
Jay?
Thank you, Your Honor. Along those lines, I mean, we've been looking at getting an entirely new system for 911 for a few years, haven't we?
I mean, I think, like, I proposed it 2 years ago when we talked about Zetron the first time. He hit it on the head. Ray was having problems with Motorola from the minute it was put in 2017. Their GIS system was not giving us an adequate mapping. I'm trying to fix that with the Geocom map that we have for the city. That's updated on a regular basis. What we have currently has to be manually updated, and nobody here knows how to do that, nor does I have the staffing for the time to do that. I'm working with Geocom, trying to work with Motorola. They've been hesitant, but we're working on getting that Geocom map put in. But again, this has just been the ongoing thing since Motorola put this in 2017.
Okay, I'm just kind of wondering. I mean, we've been looking to get another one. I remember the big discussion about having a secondary backup about our 911 system, also being able to have two dispatchers if we ever had something really big happening. But it seems like we ought to just allocate some money to this and do this now. I mean, this is a really important thing. As much as we talk about, you know, our port or our incinerator or our many other things we need to fix. If our incinerator goes down, we get a pile of garbage for 2 or 3 months. If 911 goes down, somebody could die. So I mean, we've been talking about this for 2 years. We should just do it. Pull the trigger on something. I mean, find out something the next week or two before our next meeting, and then we'll start out January with a offering a RFP or something, or a lease, or to lease equipment. I think you mentioned that. And I mean, I do like the idea that if we lease it, if they're not supporting us, we cannot pay it. and we have all their equipment. I think they would be motivated to come and work on stuff if we still had to write them a check. So, I mean, I could see how that and they would be upgrading consistently. But I mean, this seems like something. Right now is our slow time for 911. I'm guessing. I'm thinking that we ought to just start moving forward and have something on the next agenda that says we're going to move forward with something. It seems pretty straightforward. Just throwing that out there under discussion.
I think once we have a solution, which I hope we can have one soon. I know that staff and I know Chief have been working. This has been, you know, one of their top priorities on, you know, how can we get this resolved? Hopefully once, you know, they were able to find this patch, which is good, which is holding, but we've got to find a full-time solution for this. I'm with you. I mirror your concern, and having 911 is a major concern. And I hopefully we get the answer quicker than later. Vice Mayor Potter.
How quickly can we get a group up here to do a real audit on exactly what kind of equipment we need to order, and then we get that equipment budgeted for and ordered?
Manager Ryan.
I'm not sure I can answer that. I know it sounds straightforward. I've worked on two 911 systems. It's never been a straightforward answer. This conversation sounds like the conversation I was having 6 years ago with Zetron. So it's never clear. I did have success one time getting a company audit and come in and clean things up. That company is not functioning that way anymore. So I know it always appears clear and it seems easy, but just like the phone call the other morning with Procom, we thought we were going down the road of them recommending Zetron, and they threw out Vesta or Vespa or whatever. We'd never heard of it till a week ago. I am curious, with the battery backup working, that would be somewhat flooring if that was the problem the whole time. Not shocking. Battery backups are problematic. So I would like to ride this out a little bit to see if it's battery backup, because we could be making a $600,000 mistake on a battery backup. So while it sounds easy, it's not.
We don't want to make a mistake, especially a $600,000 one, but we also don't want to lose that 911. So whatever. Keep investigating, please.
Would it be okay to ask for an update in 2 weeks at our next assembly meeting of what is going on with the 911 system, like what you found out?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Okay. Thanks.
Okay. Okay. The floor is still open for discussion if anybody has any items. Deb?
Thank you, Your Honor. I just want to acknowledge Mr. Hillis and our housing situation, which is, I remember thinking 15 years ago it was bad. Boy, those were the good old days. And it's just proceeded. What is happening now is it's progressed beyond not just being able to find housing for seasonal workers, which are obviously critical to this town, but what used to be year-round housing units are being purchased and converted to just seasonal. So now we are still lacking seasonal housing, and at the same time losing, there are valued year-round community members in Skagway right now who have contributed for years that cannot find a place to live. And whatever happens with Garden City, that's not a quick fix. That's years down the line. Things that we can do now, and the encouraging part that I got from that December 14th planning and zoning meeting was, we need real zoning reform. That's kind of the movement that's happening up in Anchorage, talking about it in Juneau. That's things that we can do now that will make a difference. The reality of Skagway is, even if it's just one unit, that's a huge factor in a town of our population. If we can get two units, that is a big deal. So I was encouraged to hear from Chairman Brenna very seriously calling for a work session where he called on the planning and zoning commissioners to each come up with three real ideas. And I believe that's his plan, is for that to happen as soon as possible. But we have to address zoning reform if we're going to make any kind of immediate or soon-ish difference.
Deb, I agree. I think zoning reform is one way that we can help, we can support the growth of our housing inventory. We need it. We need it badly, and whatever changes we can make to make it more accessible or more viable for people to build homes or make additions or change the current lot structure that they have, I think I support that, because we are in a place where we need housing. Orion?
Thank you, Your Honor. That planning and zoning meeting is scheduled for Tuesday, January 16th, 5:30 p.m., and as Vice Mayor stated, Chair Brenna has requested that each commissioner bring three ideas for improving or addressing housing issues in Skagway. This obviously is a very complicated, difficult discussion, something that P&Z has made a lot of changes throughout lots of commissioners and lots of work to try to change things, such as allowing a triplex on a single lot, accessory housing up to 1,000 square feet, changing parking zoning sizes, eave setbacks. Those are some of the things I can think immediately that planning and zoning has done that addresses things slightly. I mean, it's tweaking what you can do on your existing lot. From my perspective as a builder, I think the biggest challenge that our housing situation has is that we don't have additional ground. There's very, very little flat ground. And for development, that's really where it starts. So we looked within how you can make it more dense, more utilized every square inch of the town site. developing on the hill is quite hard. It's steep, it's rocky. Anyone who lives up there knows that. Anyone who's built up there knows that even more. It's very expensive. Well, and septic on a lot on the hillside can be a monumental effort. Before the pandemic, we had very, very good discussions about running water and sewer over the bridge, changing the zoning so it's more like business park, smaller acreage. That's always been a difficult discussion because it's quite expensive. I think we probably realistically probably need about a grant for about half of it to make it pencil to where the city's not either benefiting the landowners in a great way, or you're asking the landowners to pay in an outrageous bill that they would never pay. I think it was around $11 million last I checked. That's probably been a year ago with the dock discussions and all the other capital projects we've had. We've had some, it's not Tiger Grants anymore, but the version of Tiger Grants out there now, we haven't gotten it. I think we've tried for it three times. We have some development on 8 lots in Dyee, but that's, you know, we got to deal with the dike first, some of the site assessments, getting the road punched in, power and internet. This is something that I personally do every single day. When you talk about one unit, two units, one house, three houses, I looked at the permitting official's report and I was probably responsible for half of that at least. I have very few competitors anymore who are willing to take on a bank loan and deal with it. Interest rates are very high all time, 30 some year high right now. That's pretty prohibitive for people who want to build their house, whether it's their first house or their seventh house. People understand interest rates, understand how upside down you can get very quickly, even if you get approved. And I think Vice Mayor hit the nail on the head. Is what you're seeing now is you're seeing capital investment into seasonal housing, and it's eliminating year-round housing, and it is happening every month. It's happening, people buying up, you know, multiple places at once to deal with 30 employees. And my fear, and this has been my fear for a long time, is that advances, and this is I think really driven the bigger picture of you get 1 million people on Skagway coming off the cruise ships. The mom and pop nature of our town is somewhat at risk here. And that frightens me. Frightens me because I look here in December and January, February, people I bowl against, the people I see in Grizzlies and the grocery store and everywhere else. That's the fabric of what makes us a town and not just a tourist destination in the summertime, a place to have fun and then you leave. Place to make a lot of money and then you take off. I think it's a very serious problem that as an assembly, we don't have a magic answer here. And as a community, it's always, we've always fallen back on saying, well, the market will bear it. Let capitalism take its way and it'll be supply and demand and people will do it and change. But what you're seeing is supply and demand is that larger businesses are buying up housing and it's supplanting people who have lived in the same place for a long time. People I know well who have good jobs, and some of them are the nuts and bolts of way this town can work. And it's complicated by, I would say, all the different things the city also owns and pays for rent so that we can get locums in here, a new police officer comes in here, a dentist, a manager, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, I'm not singling out any one of these things, but you look at how many things the city has to do so that we can support the rotating professionals we need. That's part of it. Even people working for White Pass are struggling to find homes. People have been here for a long time. When we took away seasonal housing at Garden City because half of it was filled with T-shirt boxes or whatever, so they were sticking in there and they're defunct, and it was, I'm saying all of it, but a lot of those RVs were not really very habitable anymore. And that was, I don't know exactly how many, but I'd say, somewhere to 30 to 50 of those units were rented out throughout the whole summer, not just a one-off week at a time. You know, someone drove down the highway, came up on the ferry. It was used as seasonal housing. As the economy grows, the housing options have not kept up. I think we've all understood for a long time, we can't grow 10% a year in tourism. But as that's happened, the housing has sort of regressed in a way that's not sustainable. I certainly think we can change zoning to where you can have, we can expand light industrial in certain areas. I know there are people really eager to do that who want to build, to have like a business and living quarters for their employees, to where it's not conditional, it's accepted, it's a primary use. And I think there's some areas in town that would be very appropriate, areas that border other light industrial areas. But without really running water and sewer across the bridge or putting $6 million into Garden City with a snap of a finger, which takes years usually, there isn't a quick fix. And I've been in the middle of this for a long time, and I also build houses for a living. It's a challenging problem that I'm not going to sugarcoat it. There's no easy solution. And when I see people that I know live here year round and desperately are looking for a place to stay here and they can't find it, we have a crisis.
Ryan, I agree with you. There is no quick fix, and this isn't something we're going to snap our fingers and fix, but this is something that we have to start. We have to start soon, and we have to get the ball rolling so that in 2 or 3 years, we're not, again, talking about this, and the problem just hasn't magnified itself, and we're still in this same situation. So hopefully we can do both things in tangent. We can do the small things up front to hopefully motivate people to develop or build homes so that more people can stay here, while we also look at the long-term picture so that we can have more homes available 10 years from now, 12 years from now. I think the 50% lot coverage is something I hope PNZ discusses. But okay. Floor is still open on housing discussion.
I'll chime in on housing.
Alex. Yeah, go ahead.
Thank you, Your Honor. I am very pleased to hear this topic being discussed at the assembly table. So I'll start with that. And I would echo a lot of what's been said by Assemblyperson Hansen and Vice Mayor Potter. It's a crisis. It's a complicated situation and complicated problem that does not have an easy fix. I, at the AML conference, had extensive conversations with one of the representatives of Valdez, who had a very similar problem and have had a lot of different proactive responses to it. And while they haven't entirely fixed it, they are on their way to moving out of it. And I think that's what we need to do, is something similar, which is that we need to do a lot of things. Zoning is a big part of it. And so I'm just delighted to hear that planning and zoning is taking it up, because there's a lot of things that can be done through zoning and code that can assist and maybe contribute to a solution. And I would also just like to say that I will be holding the subject at Civic Affairs in January. I might even hold two meetings to have one, or to make sure that there's one after that planning and zoning meeting, because it's an important topic. It sounds like everybody at the table and the community agrees on it. And you know, I would rather be proactive than reactive. And it gets to a certain point in a crisis where you can't actually make choices anymore. You just have to do what you have to do. And that might not always be the best thing. And I don't want to reach that level. I want to get to a point where we're starting to, we see it. We see it's bad, and we see it's affecting us all. And so we're saying, okay, these are things that we can do. Which one do we want to try? And then, you know, hopefully avoid that we have no other choice but this terrible option. So anyway, that's all. Thank you.
Thanks, Alex. Any other discussion items or continued discussion on the housing? Jay?
Just something that I mentioned at the beginning of my ramble, the beginning of the meeting. There was one question I had about the check run. that we're still paying the University of Arizona. And I was wondering what that was for.
That was just the final payment. We hadn't paid for the final.
Okay, thanks.
Okay, unless there's any other discussion items for the table, we can move to closing remarks if any of the members have any. Let's start with the folks on the phone. Assemblymember Henry, any closing remarks?
The only thing I have, Your Honor, is I have two appointments the first week of Jan, so I will be on the phone, and then I will be back home the following week. That's all.
All right. Thank you, Dan. Assemblymember Waddell.
Nothing at this time. Thank you.
Thank you. Assemblymember Collodi.
Nothing at this time, Your Honor.
Thank you. Assemblymember Hansen.
Thank you, Your Honor. I just want to recognize the hard work that is happening. Transfer station, I don't know if everybody's noticed, but that building is the shell of it's up. They got a late start with a contested bid, but they really, I think, rose to the challenge and difficult weather and conditions. And, it's good, I think, from my seat and our seat to recognize when contractors do a good job. And I have to say again, every time I hear that hammer, I have a little smile. And I always say, don't stop, just keep going. So approving a $244,000 extension to beat those pipes deeper in the ocean so they'll be there outlasting me, we got to do it. We had to do it tonight. Manager asked us for a tool to make this happen, and that is something midstream. There's no question. We need to keep going. And beyond that, happy holidays to everyone, and I hope it's safe. And also, we got a winter storm coming, and be safe. Thanks.
Thank you. Assemblymember Burnham.
Nothing more than just a regular guy who wants a pool.
All right.
Thanks.
Okay. Vice Mayor Potter.
Thank you, Your Honor. I'm going to get a kickstart on a New Year's resolution inspired by Jamie Bricker's cultural host training that I attended, and I would like to extend a very hearty Gunish Chish. It is my New Year's Eve resolution. I'm going to try my best to incorporate some of the Tlingit language. Gunish Chish to our staff. As Assemblymember Hansen pointed out, I don't know, people know that the ore dock project is going on, but there's the transfer station project going on. There was the small boat ramp extension happening. There is so much happening in this town, and somehow Manager Ryan still finds time to sleep. I have to acknowledge the incredible things this little tiny community is pulling off with a minimal staff. So thank you to that. Happy holidays to everybody, but I want to do my annual reminder that for a lot of people, this is a really, really hard time of year emotionally. So I want to remind everybody of the 988 suicide hotline. And if you are in Skagway, do not hesitate. If you're not doing well and someone asks, how are you doing? Just answer, I'm not doing that great right now because this is Skagway and we take care of everybody. So happy holidays. And if you need help, let us help you.
Thank you, Vice Mayor Potter. You guys said everything that I was wanting to say. Happy holidays to everybody out there. Stay safe. And I would entertain a motion to adjourn.
I move we adjourn.
Second.
Motion by Potter, second by Collodi. Discussion? Roll call.
Henry.
Yes.
Hansen.
Yes.
Collodi.
Yes.
Waddell.
Yes.
Potter.
Yes.
Burnham.
Yes.
Six yeses, motion passes.
All right, meeting adjourned.